This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Morena, and welcome back to The Performance Habit. I'm Josie from Spring Coaching, and this is where we explore practical ways to perform at your best in a way that feels doable and sustainable, even when work and life gets messy, as we know it often does. If you've been listening to the series for a while, you'll know that I spend my days working with people who care deeply about doing a good job. We talk about leadership, confidence, habits, resilience, well-being, behaviour change and team performance, to name just a few of the topics that we cover. And on the surface, they might seem like they're quite different conversations. Yes, they're all about performance, but performance itself is actually a pretty broad topic. And so for a long time, I've had this kind of niggly feeling that there's something underneath it all. Maybe like a common thread, if you will, something that connects all of these challenges together. And that's the question that's been keeping me awake at night. What is the actual problem I help people solve? It seems so simple. Now, if you listened to last month's episode, you'll know that I had a bit of a eureka moment one morning. It was about 2 a.m. and I was reflecting on the years of coaching conversations, the different workshops, webinars and client stories, and I was looking for that common thread, that pattern across it all. When it finally hit me, and it was very exciting when it happened, I have to say, what I came to realise is that I help people and teams through what I've called the quiet middle. That's the space between starting something and reaching the outcome that you're working towards. It's the place where progress is still happening, you're still moving forwards, but it becomes much harder to see. So you actually start to lose trust in yourself, but also the process. And it's a really difficult, difficult place to be. Last time we explored how when you're operating in this space, what I've called the quiet middle, that over time decisions start to drift upwards through organisations. You start to escalate more things. But when I started to think more about this, because I am an overthinker, I'll be the first to admit that, I started to realise that maybe escalation isn't actually the problem, but it's a symptom of what's happening. Kind of like if we were to use like health and medical conditions. It's a little bit like a runny nose is a symptom of having a cold. So today, in this month's episode, I want to go one step deeper and I want to kind of talk about what happens inside us when we're in the quiet middle that makes us stop trusting ourselves, but also the process. Because one thing I've noticed over years of coaching is that the people that I'm working with are really capable people and they don't lose their capability overnight. But under pressure, something changes and they can lose confidence in their own abilities really quickly. So let's talk more about that in this episode. So to begin with, I want to talk about one of the biggest myths that I see in the workplace, and that is confidence and capability go hand in hand. The idea being that if you know what you're doing, that you'll naturally feel more confident. But I have said that's not what I see in reality. In fact, some of the most capable and the most experienced people I know are often the quickest to doubt themselves. The way that they see themselves is very different to how the rest of the world sees them. And it's not because they suddenly don't know how to do their job, but it's because pressure changes how clearly they can access what they already know. And you've probably experienced this yourself. Have you ever walked out of a meeting or had a conversation with someone and thought to yourself, did I explain that properly? Did I make the right decision? Maybe I should just check with someone. I do this so often, and when I was talking to someone about this, they referred this as being like a post-mortem. And that's exactly what it is. You start to dissect absolutely everything. But in reality, nothing has changed about your experience. Nothing has changed about your capability. You're still the same capable person. But something has shifted in how certain everything feels. And once confidence starts to wobble, that's when our behaviour begins to shift with it. So I've been reflecting on why does this happen? Why do capable people start to second guess themselves in the first place? And as I said, one of the reasons why I've been reflecting on this so much is because this is a challenge that I have myself as well. And if I think about it, I think part of the answer is that our brains are constantly trying to make sense of what's going on around us. Our brains are like predictor machines. Our brains like patterns, they like certainty, and of course, they also like to make up stories to keep us alive. And when things are predictable, then the brain is efficient. Life feels a lot easier and doesn't require much energy to operate. So, if we were to talk again about the stage before the quiet middle, like when you start working towards something, visible progress seems visible. We can easily see the milestones that we're achieving, and we know that we're moving forwards. We know what's expected. We can see the finishing line getting closer and closer and closer. But when we arrive in the quiet middle, that's where, progress is a bit more subtle. We might have some good days where it seems really obvious that we're moving forwards, but we can also have some bad days, days where we feel like we're moving backwards. And this means that the feedback, our direction of travel, becomes less obvious, it's less clear, and our achievement of milestones seems further apart. So we start to really question ourselves, and again, I do this myself, we start to question what's going on? Because progress doesn't show up the way it used to show up, especially at the beginning when it was so transparent and linear. Things aren't certain anymore. In fact, they're grey and wishy-washy. And well, to be honest, lack of clarity creates discomfort. And it's not because anything's particularly wrong, but it's because it takes up a lot more brain power to deal with uncertainty. And that's so tiring. So, of course, we want to try and reduce the uncertainty to make life easier. And so, for some of us, this might mean looking at things even harder, looking at the same thing from every single possible angle, and then looking again. Sometimes it's checking the same thing over and over and over again, maybe like Santa checking his list twice, just in case you miss something. Again, this is something that I do myself. And then finally, maybe we turn to someone else, just for that quick sanity check, for reassurance. Again, I'm guilty of this as well. But all along, it's not because we're incapable. It's really because we want that discomfort of uncertainty to go away. We like to know, because knowing feels safe. So I want to give you a real life example. I'll give you a bit of a case study. Now, these are based on an actual person, but as always, I've changed the name of the person and also some of the details. And this is just to protect my client's confidence. So, if you will, imagine someone called Jane. Again, name is made up. And Jane is an experienced project manager. So, she's delivered successful projects for many, many, many years. And one of the skills that she has, something that is key to being a successful project manager, is being able to make decisions quickly and having confidence in your decisions. So normally Jane makes dozens of decisions each week without hesitation. But I'm sure Jane is the sort of person that if you gave her like a large chocolate selection box, she would have no hesitation in picking which chocolate she wants. She's that good at making decisions. But imagine that the organisation enters a period of change and suddenly budgets get tightened. And so every decision needs to be backed up with evidence that it's the right financial decision to be made. There's even a special decision matrix to use that helps you weigh out the different criteria. And, almost every day there's strong messages coming down from above around the importance of being financially responsible. So nothing about Jane's capability has changed. In fact, some may argue that actually her capability is strengthened because now she's got precise criteria to use, she's got this new decision matrix tool to use. So Jane hasn't changed, but the environment around her has. So imagine that, knowing about the importance of tightening costs, she's faced with a decision between picking between two providers. Provider A has higher initial upfront costs, but her gut, her project manager gut that's been honed over the years, says that provider A is the better option. She just feels that there'd be less scope creep. She just feels that they get the organisation better. Provider B is way, way, way cheaper on paper. But there's just something about it, something about the way that they put together the proposal, the cost. She just feels in her gut that those costs could easily balloon. Maybe she's not sure about the assumptions that they've made. Maybe she's just, not sure about how well they know the organisation. So in the past, she would have trusted her gut. She would have gone straight away with option A, provider A. But now in this new environment of penny counting, she starts to doubt herself. If they're cutting costs, perhaps she really should go with option B because it seems to be cheaper. And so after spending way, 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 way longer on the decision than she normally would, she decides to go with her manager by sending them a quick email. Something like, just want to check you're comfortable with provider A. They're initially more expensive, but I think their costs are more realistic. I think costs could balloon if we go with provider B. And her manager replies, yep, looks fine, go for it. And instantly she feels relief. I mean, who doesn't like to be told that you're right? So the next day she checks another decision, something that proves that she wouldn't have felt the need to check. And again, she gets the same reassurance, the same validation. And she does it again and again. And given the environment and the need to tighten belts, it does feel responsible. Some may say even careful and prudent, but of course, over time, a habit is forming. So the relief from making the decision, her judgments aren't coming from her, they're now coming from her manager confirming her judgments. And while Jane's manager's workload increase may be okay at the moment, just responding to one, what if Jane's colleagues start to notice that the decisions that Jane used to make, she's now running past her manager? And they start to question themselves. I mean, if capable Jane, the one that's so good at making decisions, is checking things with the manager, perhaps they better check too. And so suddenly meetings get a little bit longer, just to confirm details to make sure everyone understands what's required. Emails include more people. More people are now CC'd in just to make sure everyone knows what's going on. Decisions that used to sit comfortably with an individual now start to drift upwards. And not because there's been any direction, and if you remember, the direction is around being more financially responsible. But because humans are social creatures, we model the behaviour in front of us. So now imagine you're Jane's manager. A few months ago, your role was strategic, you were focused on building the business. But now your days look really different. You're being asked to, confirm between provider A and provider B. Maybe you're being asked to even approve wording on a few emails, or maybe sanction decisions your team used to make independently, just to validate their decisions. And of course, your team comes first. You want to support them as much as possible. And after all, independently, each request seems reasonable. But over time, it really does begin to build. And so you become the central point of decision making, not because you've taken control or you've asked to make all those decisions, but because something has quietly shifted. Confidence has now moved. And unfortunately for you, unlike everyone else, there's nowhere else for you to go. There's no one for you to check in with. And I've said it can be lonely at the top. Now, this pattern that I've described of Jane, I want to share that I've also noticed it within my own business as well. So I could relate really well to what Jane was talking about. Except in my case, like Jane's manager, there's no one for me to check things with. No, I'm a solopreneur. I'm the director of my business. And so, what I've found I've started to do is to actually use AI. And it's a little bit embarrassing to admit this, given, the value I place on independent thinking and authenticity. But I found myself sometimes writing something, and just because I want a fresh pair of eyes over it, and I have no fresh pair of eyes to ask, I'll share it with AI and ask it something like, "What's your take on this?" Or, "Does this sound okay?" And of course, many of you may know that AI is incredibly positive. Unlike humans, AI has a positivity bias. So everything I check with AI comes with smelling of roses. Yay! And it feels so, so good. I feel good about me, so I keep doing it. Not because I needed more information, but because I was looking for reassurance, that fresh pair of eyes. And it works. It meant that I could then hit publish on whatever the thing was and carry on, go to the next task, get more done. But can you get what happened over time? I started to notice a pattern, just like the one that happened with Jane, where it became a bit of a habit. And it's funny, I have to say, this habit, it feels like it's even easier with AI because AI is always available. You don't need to worry about being a nuisance or distracting AI from its work because it's there to help you. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not saying that asking for input or using AI is wrong, nor am I saying getting reassurance and validation is bad. I think it's a really great thing to be validated. It's a true gift, and it's always good to get different perspectives. But there's a subtle difference between seeking a different perspective and seeking reassurance and validation versus relying on it to be able to move forwards. And so now that I've spotted this pattern myself with AI, I've started to question things before I use it. So I might say things to myself like, am I generally looking for an insight, or am I seeking permission from AI to trust what I already know? Am I seeking permission to hit post on something? And of course, what makes seeking reassurance so powerful is that it really does work. It's a little bit like, it's say 3 p.m. when you have that kind of crash and you need an energy boost and you reach for a chocolate bar, and it does what you need. You get that rush. But of course, that doesn't last, so you reach for another. And the same thing happens with reassurance. You feel uncertain about something, so you check. You get confirmation, you feel better, and because you feel better, you're more likely to repeat the behaviour next time. And yes, over time, this can quietly shift the balance, where you begin to rely more on external confirmation than internal judgment. Until we realize that we're checking things we already know how to do. Just like what I said with AI, it can be a really slippery slope. So let me give you another example to try and explain this idea a little bit more. Imagine you have two leaders and they're working in very similar high-pressure environments. Both are dealing with incomplete information, which kind of goes with the territory of being a leader. The first leader sends most decisions upwards to the director, and they tell themselves that they're being careful, responsible, diligent, all of that great stuff. And the director responds quickly, so things are able to move on. And so from the outside, everything looks fine. But over time, leader one becomes increasingly dependent on the external confirmation from the director. Now, what happens when the director is unavailable? Everything grinds to a halt. Decisions slow down. And it's not because capability is missing. It's because judgment hasn't been exercised. They haven't built up that skill. Now imagine a second leader, leader number two. They also seek input from the director, but only when needed. So before they escalate a decision up to the director, they pause and they might ask something like, "If this decision was mine to make, what would I do?" You know what? Sometimes they're still not sure, so they ask for input, and that's perfectly okay. But sometimes they don't. And over time, something important develops. They get used to making judgment calls, so their trust in themselves strengthen. It's not because they've avoided uncertainty, it's because they've got used to working within it. So as I said, this is something I've experienced myself with AI. And so one of the simplest questions I've started to use to kind of break this habit is that question, am I looking for more information or am I looking for validation? Because information does help us make better decisions. Validation helps us feel more certain about decisions we've often already made. And both are useful, neither is bad, but they're not the same thing. And just like in the example that I gave the two leaders, sometimes it can be helpful to ask yourself, if I couldn't ask anyone else, what would I decide? Because often we know the answer, and the answer can come surprisingly quickly because the capability was never missing. It's that confidence in ourselves is being overshadowed by uncertainty. So I guess where I'm going with this is the more I think about the quiet middle, the more I realize it's not really a stage of work, it's more a stage of interpretation. It's about where certainty becomes less available. So because we don't like uncertainty, we begin to make meaning from ambiguity, which leads to us doubting ourselves, the process, and looking for reassurance. And that's where many of these patterns emerge. We could escalate up, overchecking, overworking, maybe hesitating. It's just like, as I said, a runny nose, a cough, weeping eyes are all symptoms of having a cold. They're not separate problems, they're different responses to the same underlying experience, which is all about a loss of clarity and confidence. It's not about skill or capability. And I think that's really important to understand. It's about our interpretation of what's going on. Because capability doesn't disappear in uncertainty. You don't become less capable when you're not sure. It just becomes harder to trust ourselves. So capability is what we already have. It's the skills, our experience, our knowledge. And our confidence is whether we're willing to allow on it. So perhaps if we think a little bit more, a good definition of confidence might be something like the ability to stay connected to ourselves, our judgment, and our abilities while uncertainty is present. So if you take one thing away from this month's session, perhaps it's something like when certainty becomes harder to find, like it does in the quiet middle, when progress is quieter and progress is less visible, it can be super easy to mistake that feeling for evidence that something is wrong. Maybe we think something wrong with the project, or something's wrong with the team, or perhaps something is wrong with us. But often, none of that is true. It's not about our ability to do the work. What's changed is that the work has become harder to interpret. There's more uncertainty. And when there's more uncertainty, we start to look elsewhere for the answers, whether it be in our managers, our colleagues, and AI. You know what? And sometimes that's the exact right thing to do. Fresh perspectives do make us better. Wise advice helps us to avoid blind spots. They give us new interpretation. The challenge isn't really about stopping to ask for help. Like I said earlier on, don't think I'm saying you shouldn't ask for help. You shouldn't ask for support. You shouldn't ask for a different perspective. It's about noticing why we're asking. Are we asking because we've kind of reached the limits of our knowledge, or have we reached the limits of our comfort and confidence with the uncertainty? Because they're not the same thing. And recognizing that difference between the two, that might help us to trust ourselves, have more confidence in our own abilities, and hopefully help us help each other a little bit more as well. So I'm Josie Aston from Spring Coaching. Thank you for joining me for another episode of The Performance Habit. I do really appreciate you tuning in. And I hope this month's episode has given you something to notice this month. Maybe you picked up on your own pattern of seeking reassurance. So let's end there, and I look forward to chatting with you again next month. Until next time, take care and kia kaha.